application on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about the concept of contentment in Islam. Please join with us. Today, Friday, is the 26th of Zulhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of the month of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of August, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's listen to verse 20 of chapter Al-Hadid from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
Know that the life of this world is but amusement and diversion and adornment and boasting to one another and competition in increase of wealth and children. Like the example of a rain whose resulting plant growth pleases the tillers. Then it dries and you see it turned yellow. Then it becomes scattered debris. And in the hereafter is severe punishment and forgiveness from Allah and approval. And what is the worldly life except the enjoyment of delusion?
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse proceeds with the fruits of life saying that consequent one's deeds, either severe torment or divine satisfaction, may fall into man's share. Worldly life is nothing but deception. Thus the blessed verse is saying that the worldly life is the means of deception, namely it serves as the means of deceiving oneself and others. It is worthy of note that the means of deception applies to those who regard mundane life as their final goal. They attach themselves to and rely on it. They set their final goal on gaining further possessions.
Every time I close my eyes, I see in front of me. I still can hear your voice calling out my name. And I remember all the stories you told me. I miss the time you were around. I miss the time you were around.
The concept of contentment in Islam we are talking about. The concept of being contented is very important in our daily life. If one is contented, he will live in peace, in harmony and happiness. These qualities can't be purchased or acquired through wealth, property, position or fame. If a person is not contented, he will drive himself crazy. He will do his best to satisfy his needs, but never ever will he be happy or satisfied. He will never have peace of mind. He may end up being schizophrenic, and he may continue to live in anxiety and have mental disturbances. The capitalistic society puts heavy pressure on the individual so as to produce or to perish, and to compete or to be fired. Such as economic system makes the rich richer and the poor poorer. In such a society, there is no contentment, no satisfaction, and no happiness. The same thing is to be applied to other non-Islamic societies. This crisis and psychological turmoil does happen in any Muslim society where Muslims are not practicing the teachings of Islam. Hence, we have been advised by Allah on how to be contented.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with contentment and the effects of contentment in our daily lives. The sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam indicated that those people who are content with the provisions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided them with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be content with the religious duties as much as they are able to perform. And we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam elsewhere indicated it in this way. اقْنَعْ بِمَا أُوتِيتَهُ وَحُفَّ عَلَيْكَ الْحِسَابِ. Be content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided you, such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't be that much strict on you on the day of resurrection in terms of whatever you've done in this world. And there's another piece of hadith in that, Al-Qina'atu Ra'sul Ghina. Contentment is the peak of wealth. It's indicated that, on one side you have, contentness and contentment, and on the other hand, you find, wealth. So we find that, there must be some sort of relationship between them. The materialization of these moral traits helps people conceive what may be achieved, and it cannot be lost. Imam Ali alayhi salam elsewhere indicated atyabul aish al-qana'a, the most pleasing type of life is contentment. Thank you very much for listening to this episode.
IRI the English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا عليك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
One question: how to achieve qana'ah, self-contentment? One answer: realizing that sustenance isn't measured by intelligence. Dear friend, we must realize that a person's sustenance isn't depending merely on his intelligence or the number of activities, the extent of knowledge, even though these are some of the causes of sustenance to come, but they are not the ultimate measure. This kind of awareness will make a person to be content, particularly upon seeing a person that is more obtuse, lower in education and skills, obtain more sustenances than himself. Thus, he won't be envious and spiteful towards him.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see. When you feel you've lost it all, when you don't know who's your friend or foe, you wonder why you're so alone. Worry ends when faith begins. Don't be sad by what you see. It's true, life has its miseries, but one thing's always.
And in this part, we speak a little about the effects of lack of contentment on society. It promotes criminal engagement, an individual to go into all forms of activities such as human trafficking, drug trafficking, and robbery to make money. By lack of contentment, it encouraged domination of immorality as men and women get involved in corruption to make money. And It encourages domination of individuals over others and group over their fellows to gain unmerited advantage. This is the root cause of ethnicity in Nigeria and some other countries.
Yes, there are two areas Islam says never be content. One, seeking knowledge. Never be content. Don't say, okay, I've sought enough knowledge, I have good education. No. Islam says seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. As long as you're alive, seek knowledge. That in itself will give you fulfillment. It will satisfy your soul. It will quench the thirst of your soul. And you will always feel fulfilled. Number two, spirituality. Acts of goodness. Never say, okay, I've donated enough, I've prayed enough, I've done this enough, I've read Quran enough. Don't ever say that. Always encourage yourself to do more and more. That way you will feel satisfied, my dear brothers and sisters. The recipe is very simple. The ingredient to success, the formula to success is very simple. And that comes with contentment. Prophet Isa alayhi salam, in one hadith, he says, my mode of transportation is not a fancy, expensive horse at the time. It's my legs, my feet. My bed is not a comfortable mattress. It's the ground, the earth. My pillow is the rocks. And you know what my blanket is? The sky. I sleep under the sky. But then he makes this powerful statement. He says, but there is no one on the face of the planet who's richer than I. Because he has that full contentment. Let's take advantage of this spiritual opportunity to really try to feel content. Go home tonight and ask yourself, why am I here? The day that I depart this world, does it really matter if I don't have this, if I don't have that? What matters? If I have the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I have the wilayah and the Ahlul Bayt, if I'm a just, honest person, believe me, I have more than I could ask for.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran.
That was all for today's special. So we'll continue this topic, inshallah, on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Until then, believe you under Allah's protection.
يا ربي يا رحمن شكرا يا رب.
Food for thought.
Salam, dear friends, and here we present you a wonderful formula for salvation as bequeathed to us by the Almighty's last and greatest messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. My intercession with God on the day of judgment for my ummah will be for only those who loved my Ahlul Bayt.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Imam Baqir alayhi salam has a very beautiful tradition, and you know, it shows the generosity and the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though we can never explain that generosity and kindness in words, nor can we ever experience the ultimate and absolute generosity and kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have the capability for it. It is too grand for us to actually, you know, experience. It's like putting the whole ocean into a bucket. It's not going to work. So Imam Baqir alayhi salam says that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created locks for all evil. This is where the beauty comes in. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to go towards evil. And He has put barriers there. That don't go towards this. Not only telling us don't go, He has blocked it for us to enter. But we unfortunately have the keys also to those locks, which is put it in our hands, because that's the point of this world. It is a test. Alright? That, yes, okay, don't go. I've told you don't go towards this. I've even locked it. But unfortunately, you also have the ability to open it. It is you who does it, not me. I put it away. But you, O mankind, you go towards it and you open it, and then you obviously sick. So Imam Baqir alayhi salam, again to quote the hadith, it says, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created locks for all evils, and he made the keys to those locks to be alcohol. Look at the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even that particular key has been banned by us. But this is when it comes to tashri, the concept of divine law. That yes, this particular thing is haram and it's forbidden for you to even go close to or go near. We know that in fiqh, it is haram for you to sit on a table where alcohol is served. Right? Majority of the ulama have this ruling. To sit on a table, that is the amount of, you know, bad energy that this thing has on one side. There are other discussions that can be had. And then the imam says that there is something even worse than alcohol. And this is something that, you know, we do sometimes naturally. Na'udhu bin Allah, protect us from this sin. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created locks for all evil, and he made the keys to those locks to be alcohol. And lying is worse than alcohol. Lying, why? It is easy to perform. You don't have to do much to lie. Yes, you destroy your own soul, but in order to lie, you don't need to do much effort. For example, if a Muslim wants to drink alcohol, he has to go and attain money, he has to find a shop that sells it, he has to find a place that he's able to drink it in hiding and not let other people find out. Lying easy, you just, you know, say it with the tongue. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from IRIB English Radio on the blessed days of Ramadan, month of Allah. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, Rav Mahdi. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners who are listening to Let's Recite the Quran. I'm really glad to be with you, and thank you for having me.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you know, Ramadan is the spring of Quran. And during Ramadan, almost all Muslims try to recite the Noble Quran, and they try to finish recitation of at least one juz every day. There's a narration from Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam that says, recitation of one verse is equal to the recitation of the whole Quran. And of course, listening to the Quran recitation has got a lot of rewards. In the program Let's Recite the Quran, each day we are going to listen to recitation of a few verses of a specific juz. But before it, we're going to talk a little about the surahs and chapters included in that juz and the rewards of those who recite those surahs. After recitation, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation as well as the recited verses. Beside these segments, we're going to have some other interesting Quranic segments which will be presented to you. So, dear audience, stay tuned. Dear audience, today on the 12th day of the blessed month of Ramadan, we are going to listen to a recitation of a few verses of a surah included in Juz 12 of the Holy Quran. Surah Hud has got 123 verses and it was revealed in Mecca. It is called Hud because it includes the story of Prophet Hud alayhi salam, the prophet of the people of Ad. Some of the main subjects of this surah are stories of prophets, the battle against corruptions and deviations, the miracle and tahaddi of the Quran, and tests of human beings in the course of their perfection. Surah to Yusuf, the 12th surah of the Holy Quran, has 111 verses and it was revealed in Mecca too. So it is called Yusuf, the Prophet Joseph, peace be upon him, because it is concerned with the life story of the Prophet Joseph as the best of stories. It is interesting that the story of Joseph is the only story in the Noble Quran which is recounted in detail from the beginning to the end in one surah.
Brother Mahdi, we have some narrations about the reward of reciting this noble surah. From Imam Sadiq, for example, we have a narration that he, peace be upon him, said that whoever recites this surah every day or every night, Allah Almighty, He will raise him on the Day of Judgment with a very handsome face appearance. If he's a man, handsome. If he's a woman, a beautiful face, such as that of Prophet Joseph or Prophet Yusuf. And on that day, he won't fear anything, and he shall be one of the most righteous servants of Allah. And it's been said that the same thing has been said in the Torah as well.
Interesting, brother. Thank you. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 39 and 40 of Surah to Yusuf in Juz 12 of the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا صاحبي السجن أأرباب متفرقون خير أم الله الواحد القهار ما تعبدون من دونه إلا أسماء سميتموها أنتم وآباؤكم ما أنزل الله بها من سلطان إن الحكم إلا لله أمر أن لا تعبدوا إلا إياه ذلك الدين القيم ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون صدق الله العلي العظيم.
The audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah to Yusuf, verses 39 and 40, recited by Brother Mehdi Farooqi. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yes, sure. Okay, this recitation, just like you said, was recited by Brother Mehdi Farooqi. He's from Qom. He's a seminary student. He studies at the Islamic Seminary of Qom. And he is a teacher of Quran in universities. I was his student when I used to attend Qom University, University of Qom. I learned a lot from him. And he recites the Quran in the holy shrine of Lady Fatima Masuma before the Adhan. And of course, he chants the Adhan after his recitation. Usually, the Adhan of Maghrib and Isha prayers.
And recites very beautifully.
Yes, his tartil is very beautiful. And in this recitation, he recited using Maqam Ajam. Mm-hmm. And he also recites a lot in Maqam Kurd. He even recites Maqam Kurd more beautifully than this Ajam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's very beautiful. And unfortunately, he hasn't, we don't have a complete recitation of the whole Quran by his voice, because you know, on the in the month of Ramadan, in the shrine of Lady Fatima Masuma, there is a ceremony held for reciting the Quran. Each day they recite one juz. There are several reciters, usually four or five reciters, and each reciter, usually there are four reciters, and each of them recites a quarter of the juz of that day.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Mahdi Furughi is one of those four reciters. And this recitation that we heard was probably in that gathering, in the shrine of Lady Fatima Masuma or somewhere else. Okay, because he doesn't recite only in Qom, he recites in other cities as well.
Mm-hmm.
And for this reason, we still don't have a complete compilation of the whole Quran with the voice of Rav Mahdi Furughi, but in the future, we might have it.
Inshallah.
Okay.
Now let's talk about the tajweed points, brother.
Tajweed points. Yes. Ya sahibay sijin. Ya sa. The sod has tafkhim.
At the highest level.
Yes. Sod with tafkhim at the highest level. And because it has an aliful mad, that's why you have to apply the highest level of tafkhim. If it was another vowel, another long vowel or short vowel, the level of tafkhim would be less.
Differ.
Yes. For example, salah, salah, the sod of salah has
the
less tafkhim, the second highest level. It's less than the sod with an aliful mad.
Mm-hmm.
The ra with tafkhim, they were pronounced very well by Brother Mahdi Furughi. A-ar-bab. We have a ra, which is sakin, preceded by a letter with a fatha. As a result, the ra should be pronounced with tafkhim.
Thickness.
With thickness, as opposed to thinness, tarqiq.
Mm-hmm.
And mutafarriqu. Now this is a ra with tarqiq, with thinness. A-arbabu mutafarriqun. Mutafarriqun. The ra has tarqiq. Ri.
Yes.
We don't say ri. Okay.
And without takrir.
Yes. Khayrun am. Here we have ilhar of nun sakina. And Brother Mahdi Furughi, his knowledge of tajweed is very high, and he correctly observes all the rules of tajweed. Khayrun am. Amillahu. The lam had tarqiq, because it's preceded by, the lam of Allah is preceded by a letter with kasra. Or we could say the name of Allah, the majestic name of Allah is preceded by a letter with kasra. And that's why you have to pronounce it with tawfiq.
With thinness.
With thinness and with an empty mouth. And iyyahu. Iyyahu. The ya has rakhawa. Mm-hmm. You should not pronounce it rigidly. If you say iyyahu, iyyahu, iyyahu.
Mm-hmm. See, if gentleness.
With gentleness, yes. You should not pronounce it with stiffness and rigidity.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Iyyahu, that's incorrect. Al-Qayyim, ذلك الدين القيم. The qaf was pronounced with tafkhim at the second highest level, and the qaf was pronounced without hams. It was pronounced with jah. If you say
it is a voiced consonant.
If you say ذلك الدين القيم,
قيم
قيم is a voiceless. القيم, the qaf should be voiced.
Mm-hmm.
Some reciters, they pronounce qaf like a voiceless consonant. For example, Sheikh Muhammad Rifat, if you listen to most of his recitations, sometimes, if not most of the time, he pronounces qaf like a voiceless consonant.
Does it have anything to do with the accent of the reciters?
There's a difference of opinion about the letter qaf. Some phoneticians say that qaf is voiced, some of them say it's voiceless. But in tajweed of the Quran, most scholars of tajweed agree that qaf is a voiced consonant.
Okay, thank you.
And finally, أكثرًا ناس. أكثر. The kaf has a sukoon, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to hear the sound of kaf. If you say أكثرًا, أكثرًا, the kaf should be heard. The voicelessness.
The clicking sound, you mean.
And the clicking sound of kaf should be heard. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And the Ayn was pronounced well by Brother Mahdi.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. I hope that you've enjoyed it. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please don't forget to pray for us during the blessed hours of Ramadan. May Allah bless you all. Have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Roundtable from Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Back to Reality with me, Muhammad Javad, and my two guests. Let me ask them actually to introduce themselves first.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi, and I'm glad to be here with you guys.
Thank you very much. And, sister?
I'm Radia Shamili, at your service.
Well, today we're going to talk about keeping faith and the consequences, the difficulties, sometimes the ease even, with keeping faith in everyday life. Brother Sayyid Abdullah, let's talk about this. Do you think it's, first of all, it's difficult to keep faith in today's life?
Very difficult. Very, very difficult.
It's like keeping fire in your head?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa said, Al-Qabud ala dini kal qabud ala jamr, right? If you're holding to your faith, holding to, you know, piece of fire.
Can you say the Arabic once more? You said it so quickly.
Fast.
Was fast. Al-qabd ala dinihi kal-qabd ala jamra.
Oh, I got it now.
Right. So, it's like when you're making barbecue and you heat up the coal, and it's impossible to hold. And with iman these days, because we've got so much distractions and so much tools to deprive you of your iman. So back in the day, I think it was easy for someone to be a mystic in, I don't know, 15 days. 30 days to be a mystic and you know, go to the celestials if you want, because they had no distractions, they had nothing, right? The easy, simple life, no cars, nothing, I don't know, a horse, and eat, they eat vegetables and they sleep, you know, at once the sun sets.
A lot of people, they go to Arba'in Walk every single year.
Yes.
Or they go to Etikaf every twice a year. And like, they're like,
except for those times of COVID-19, you know.
Aside from the past 2 years, like all these have been, people say, Alhamdulillah, it's been 15 years that I've gone to Arba'in, and so many years that I've gone to Etikaf. Alhamdulillah, I'm a very good Muslim, and you know, they're so boastful of themselves.
But you mean when you equalize it to something like iman or faith?
They see this as iman. And when you go into the private realm of their life, you see that they have, like, in their workplace, they don't work efficiently. Like, if they have to fill 7 hours, they work, like, for 5 hours, and the rest they're on their cell phones. With their wives, they have, like, very crappy attitude. With their children, they're not presenting their fatherly or their motherly role.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a lot of problem in what really iman is, which is coming into equilibrium with yourself, with the nature, acting with the commands of God.
Yes.
You see nothing of these. But under the veil of these, like going into certain ziyarat, going to Hajj, going to Karbala, or doing these things, they justify their wrong
actions.
Their wrong actions. So, unfortunately,
there's an ayah that comes to my mind.
What is it?
Is in the Quran.
Yes.
وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. The majority of them believe in God, but they are actually committing shirk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you say, well, how is so? I'm a mu'min. Allah is stating that back to you. You are a believer. You believe in Allah. But you're actually committing shirk to Him because your iman is not in Him. Your iman is in something else.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get occupied in your own ibadat, right? You get so busy with it itself, like for the actual act itself, that you forget the ruh of it, right? You forget the spiritual aspect of, for example, salah. Salah is not just repeating words and going up and down. This is just the practical aspects of it. But salah is when you connect, right?
Mm-hmm.
If a person is imanless, in my opinion, is like a body that has no soul. It's just dead.
Yes.
Right? So just a corpse. So same thing applies here. So
isn't it better, in fact, to do like those rituals, for example? I know, like, from a jurisprudential point of view, well, obviously you can't. But what you're saying is like, you know, if you don't do these rituals like on a repeated basis, then you would somehow get the spirit of those actions much better than when you repeat it all the time.
For example, salah, we have to pray 5 times a day.
Yes,
it's a compulsory act.
Exactly,
it's not something is a choice. But if you don't focus in it, even qabul as-salah, imam, a person came to Imam Salih alayhi salam and said, how do I know my salah is accepted? He said to him, look at the Quran. The Quran says, inna salah tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar, right? Salah prevents you from wrongdoing and transgression.
Mm-hmm.
See what you do outside after salah. Do you still cheat? Do you still lie? Do you still swear? Do you still use foul language? Do you still do? If you're doing these things and you're praying, then obviously your salah is not accepted.
Yes, exactly.
Because it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. It's like a medication. You take it, you expect yourself to be healthy.
Yes.
But if you're not healthy, you go back to the doctor and say, doc, sorry, but this medication is not working. Either you increase the dosage or you give me something else.
Mm-hmm.
So salah loses its effect.
I see.
It's not about the repetition. It's that the fact that you need to be so connected and channeled with it every time you pray. Like, that's why Imam Hassan alayhi salam, for example, every time he goes to pray, they say he starts to shake like a leaf.
Mm-hmm.
Or when he starts to do wudu, they say he keeps changing colors.
I see.
Because they said to him, why you're in this state? He's like, I know who I'm going to talk to now. So it just puts the fear into him.
Yes.
And I mean, not fear in a bad way, obviously,
yeah,
in a good
of
way.
Course.
That he's going to, you know, the might
of
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. So because the spirit of salah is there, anything that has repetition, if it loses the spirit in it, it goes out of the door.
Mm-hmm.
I give you an example. Like, you know, I said to you before that I worked as a manager in a company. We had a very complex mechanized system for picking orders from shelves. Right, shelves are very high, and they have these machines that pick the orders and bring it to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very repetitive work. And the guys that work with me, right, after 15, 20 minutes
off repetition, they become like robots. They take a box, pick it up, put it in a different location.
Yes.
And that drains your mentality. So every time I look at them, and I see the ones that their battery is about to go low, I'm like, go to the break room, go for 10, 15 minutes, have a coffee, have a tea, relax, come back. Wash yourself, go to the bathroom.
Don't act like a robot, you mean?
Yeah, because the problem is not that they can act as, if they act like robots and maintain for 8 hours, I'll be very happy because my rates will shoot up. The problem is they lose energy because it's repetition.
I see.
And it becomes meaningless. Have you seen people pray these days? Like they're like crows, and they get they just want to get it out. They're not even doing it correctly anymore because they lost the spirit. So you need to maintain that spirit, maintain that iman in everything. Otherwise, like I said, whether it's an action of ibadah, a worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any matter of life, if you get busy, obviously your iman will slide like a fish.
Yes.
It's like a little fish. If you don't hold it tight, it will slip from your hand. Anyway.
Okay, let's take a break and we'll be back. Continue this hot discussion, okay?
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Back to the program, Back to Reality on IRIB English Radio. We are still talking about keeping faith and how difficult it is. Sister, just adding to what the Sayyid Abdullah was talking about, you know, I asked him this question, that, and he was talking about like the inherent spirit in or within these rituals are something to be taken into account, right? But the nature of human being is something like, we easily lose our sensitivity when something becomes too much available for us, right? Or when it becomes like automatic, all right? Like when you're growing up with a person, you don't tend to see the differences like growing up with that particular individual, right? So likewise, you can see it with the rituals. When you, like, say, for example, the prayer 5 times a day, right? Or when you fast, just like automatically, okay? I know, I'm not talking about, like, jurisprudential viewpoint, all right? What we are focusing on is, like, this kind of sensitivity that we lose all the time as an individual, as a person with these inherent qualities, all right? So if you look at human beings as having those characteristics, all right, so it's something quite natural, I can say, all right? So there is this proverb in English that goes, absence make the heart grow fonder, all right? When you are away from someone for a while, so you become interested in that or seeing that person, that individual. But when you are all the time 24/7 with that person, then maybe sometimes even you get fed up with the person, all right? So don't you think that some of these...
Let's not pray for a while. We're going to be fond of
prayer. I'm not talking about prayer. I'm not talking about prayer per se, all right? I'm talking about some other things, or at least we have to do something to balance or counterbalance this.
We have to... My understanding of this topic is that, as the brother said, you know, being a Muslim without having the spirit of, you know, real taqwa and iman is like it's a body without a spirit. So these acts are not important on their own. There's a spirit into them that you have to keep into consideration, which is your niyyah, your intention for doing it.
Right.
We call it niyyah, the others call it mindfulness, right? So... Every time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the quality of this world. He knows that we are forgetful individuals, forgetful creations. And we get lured by the attractions and all the beauties of this material world.
Yes.
We have been made this way. So, and the art of being a Muslim is that despite all these attractions and tendencies, you decide with your free will to choose otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all embedded in the idea of niyyah or intention. And every time you go, you stand to pray, you go wash yourself, you make ablution. It's like you're standing near a stream of water and you're cleaning your hands or your clothes of the dirt that has come stuck to yourself. So in the religion of Islam, if you do the most beautiful and extravagant action, and if you spend billions of dollars on charity work, but if your intention is not other than pleasing Allah, you will have nothing, no gain whatsoever.
In the hereafter.
Oh, God will only give you get the gain in this world.
Rewards in this world.
Exactly.
Yes.
And on the other hand, if you don't even have a penny to spend, but you have the intention, you have this urge in you that you want to give someone some money, that you have this feeling of sympathy that you say, oh, I wish I could help that person. This is worth so much more than the billions of dollars that someone else, another fellow, spends.
What an inexpensive faith.
Seriously. Well, what a beautiful faith we have. Yes. And this is the secret behind prayers. This is the secret behind all the rituals. Okay. It's actually a test for all of us to see how purified our intention is every single time you want to do something. And religion and faith is not limited to just the rituals. Waking up in the morning, washing your hands, getting dressed to go to do something, preparing breakfast for yourself or your family, all these are considered as ibadah. If it's done with the intention of pleasing your Lord.
True, indeed.
So it's a beautiful religion. And there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly giving you chances, opportunities to get closer to Him, to become a better person, to become more purified. So in the midst of all these difficulties and, all these motions and, this difficult life, you have unlimited chances reach where you want to reach.
Thank you very much, Sister Razia, and thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah.
No worries.
You were listening to the program Back to Reality on IRIB English Radio, and the topic we were talking about was difficulties and hardship of keeping faith. Thank you very much for listening to us.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Quran Quest, yes please. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
Ayatullah hamatani ghamaratni